Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs, and this is The Great America Show. Welcome. And today, we're trying, like I suppose everyone else in the country, to understand just exactly what the federal government, in particular the Biden White House and the Merrick Garland Justice Department, think they can accomplish by blatantly and right out in the open violating the Constitution and the rights of a former president, Donald Trump. The FBI raid on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago offices, confiscating numerous boxes of documents, the FBI sent about 30 agents and they seized the president's property, apparently without opening the boxes. The raid is unprecedented, it's outrageous, and in that regard, it's just the latest in what has been an almost six-year-long series of FBI outrages against President Trump and his family. The FBI started their so-called investigations of Trump in the summer of 2016, pursuing what FBI officials knew at the time were false claims, all concocted by the Clinton campaign about Russian collusion. And those agents framed Trump's national security advisor, General Michael Flynn. They perpetrated fraud after fraud against President Trump from the moment he took office, ultimately creating a special counsel, which was a pack of lies piled on a pack of lies. But the president was exonerated after almost 2 years of persecution. The Marxist Dems, without shame or thought of honor or integrity, continued their assault against him and the nation, bringing two impeachments against President Trump, and they look like the fools and knaves they are, again without shame or accountability for their venality and betrayal of all that this country stands for. I truly believe there will be an accounting this time. This latest outrage is one enormity, one depravity too many to take without rooting out the evil that this President Biden, this Attorney General Merrick Garland, and these FBI agents have unleashed once again on President Trump, on this republic, on you and me. We must go to the polls in powerful numbers and bring this corrupt Marxist Dem party and deep state to account. We must return this country to the American people. With us today is conservative attorney Kurt Olson. He's represented President Trump and Mike Lindell. Kurt is a great American, and Kurt, it's great to have you back with us here on The Great America Show. I'd like to get your judgment first on what the FBI has done here, the legal bounds they've once again trampled, along with the president's constitutional rights.
Well, Lou, I think you first have to step back and let's look at the framework of what is at issue here. And this is about the Presidential Records Act, and specifically 15 boxes of documents that back in February of 2022, the National Archives claimed that the president shouldn't have taken at least some of those documents back with him after he left office. And so, you know, it's been reported that there have been ongoing negotiations, you know, with the family members and others, in terms of whether those documents are property of the National Archives and the Presidential Records Act, or personal documents such as birthday cards and things like that, that, you know, the president would, you know, normally receive in the course of his term in office. And so this is not some high crime or anything like that, or where there's been any allegation that there are some highly classified documents that were taken, you know, by the president within those 15 boxes. And so to have an unannounced raid by the FBI, reportedly over 30 agents rummaging through Mar-a-Lago, when even as Alan Dershowitz said last night on Fox, a simple subpoena would have sufficed. I mean, there was no danger that these documents were going to be destroyed. The president was not at Mar-a-Lago when this raid was conducted. He's in New Jersey. So there isn't the kind of, you know, exigent circumstances that would justify a raid of this type, both in terms of the circumstances or the issues that supposedly justified the warrant, which, by the way, the warrant is under seal. So nobody really knows right now what the probable cause that was laid out to justify this raid in the first place. And you know, I think it's really important. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as it stands right now, we have a sealed warrant.
We have a question about why there's a warrant at all and no answers. We don't understand why the FBI showed up with, as Eric Trump said, they were in 20 cars and 30 agents, and they would not permit, apparently, President Trump's attorneys to be present as they went through and confiscated boxes of documents and whatever else they took. And it is highly, it would seem to me, as a private citizen, I would be furious if they did that to me. And I can't even imagine what we're thinking of in this country to have this happen to a former president of the United States. Your thoughts about why we're allowing the FBI to operate like a bureau of the Stasi or any Secret Service police state organization. This is just nonsense what we're permitting here.
Well, I mean, you have an assumption that we're permitting it. I think the issue is that the DOJ and the FBI have been weaponized against the president and the American people. The people that are authorizing this are on the side of the DOJ and the FBI against the president and against the American people. And if they can do this to the president, I mean, this is a message being sent. We can do this to anybody. This is about control, it's about intimidation, and it's about putting fear in anyone who would support the president or who would contradict, you know, the official narrative that's coming out of Washington, D.C. on any number of issues. So right now you say, you know, why are we permitting this? And then the question would be, who has the power to stop them?
Well, that is the next question, and that is this. Why in the world aren't the president's attorneys right now appealing to the Supreme Court in getting some sort of judicial judgment here that would stop this? Because this is unconstitutional on its face, for crying out loud.
Well, it would certainly seem so. And of course, things are moving very quickly, and I'm not sure exactly what the president's attorneys are or are not doing. But I don't believe that there is a remedy directly with the Supreme Court. I think this is a situation, it's a naked abuse of power, and it's an abuse of power by a system that has now been weaponized against the American people.
So what are the American people
to do
about it?
President can do right away. Yeah, I don't think that there is much that the president can do about this in a short time frame. Could file a motion to quash, to retrieve the documents, but all of that would take time. I mean, this all has the imprimatur of legitimacy because it's a warrant that was signed by a magistrate. You know, they've checked the boxes, but it's a fact that those that are in power now are the ones that are orchestrating this, and they're not doing this under the rubric of law. They're doing it under the rubric of power. That's what we've become. This, many people have said, you know, this is what you see in a banana republic, using law enforcement and the judicial system to go after your political opponents. I think it's that obvious right now as to what's going on.
Well, in banana republics, they don't have a tradition of 250 years of absolute freedom and liberty and demanding of their government, consent of the governed. And we've got too many people, it seems to me, Kurt, talking about the American people as if we were some sort of mushrooms in a dark cellar somewhere. I am telling you, this is, when I said permitted, I'm saying I mean the word permitted. We've done nothing. We are the only ones who can do anything here. And to just sit here and watch this like helpless babes as they trample the Constitution, I don't give a damn how many guns they've got, how many agents they've got. What they're doing is ugly. It's obscene. It's a violation of law. And it is an absolute breach of tradition. This has never happened to any president in history. It hasn't happened, as far as I know, to any high government official. This is sickening to watch.
Well, it's not only sickening. I mean, I think, as the president said, we're in a very dark period right now, and we're in uncharted waters as a country. When it is so obvious that the Department of Justice, the FBI, other intelligence agencies have been caught lying under oath, for example, with the FBI officials lying to Congress, lying to the FISA court, the Russia hoax, as you well know, the fact that you had the FBI include a portal in the law office of Perkins Coie where NSA tools were being used to spy on political opponents. If you recall, John Jordan mentioned that or brought that to light about 3 weeks ago, I believe. I mean, this is the weaponization of law enforcement and the intelligence agencies and the tools with which they bring against the American people or anybody who stands against this current administration.
And if we let this stand, scary. If we let this stand, Kurt, we are no longer a republic. We are no longer a democracy. We are something entirely different than the United States of America. And it will be a judgment of the people. We had people standing outside Mar-a-Lago. I don't know what the American people have to do here, but I do know this. If we accept this, there's an old saying, you get what you accept. And what we have accepted after 6 years of persecution, the political persecution of this president, is an FBI that is encouraged now to trample his rights and those of every American. It's just outrageous. You're talking about Crossfire Hurricane. The fact that the FBI, all we know about the FBI is that they're corrupt, they lie, they've done so through how many directors of the FBI have lied through their teeth to Congress, to the American people? How many crimes have been committed after two presidential impeachments of this president, after a special counsel, after more than, well, almost 3 years of investigation by the FBI? The only thing we know is that the FBI lied, they cheated, and they stole. They were fraudulent in their activities, and they knew the truth and kept it from the American people for the course of the entire presidency of Donald J. Trump, and are doing so today. Why in hell should we put up with that kind of conduct from these kind of people who make up the FBI?
Well, the short answer is we shouldn't. And in terms of the power that the American people have, you know, their power lies at the ballot box, which has some questions, but as demonstrated by the election in Arizona, where Carrie Lake defeated the establishment candidate for governor, Mark Fincham, won his race for Secretary of State. That, I think, reverberated through the establishment Republican Party, who do not want Carrie Lake, for example, to become governor, because she will take out the McCain power center there. In terms of what the people can do about it, I would say, where are our elected representatives, whether Republicans for sure, but even you would hope some freedom-loving Democrats as well. So, you know, when Kevin McCarthy, you know, announces that Merrick Garland, preserve your documents, you know, if and when we get in power in January of 2023, well, you know, big deal. What are you doing now? Why isn't every Republican senator, and I haven't heard any Republican senators come out and denounce what happened, only a few Republican representatives, but why isn't a block, the entire Republican Party in the Senate and in the House, marching on the FBI to right now protest, not to do it for the camera on TV, but a block, every single one of them marching down from the Capitol to the FBI and to protest what they're doing. You know, again, this is unprecedented what happened. And so the response should be unprecedented as well. But the Republican senators, and even you would hope for some, as I said, freedom-loving Democrats who realize it used to be the Democrats that were always against the authority, you know, the man, but now they embrace authority. And it's really disturbing. And it's we're at a dangerous point in our country, I believe.
It's a dangerous point. It's so dangerous that when you talk about the Democrats as being liberal, you have to go back 50 years to find those Democrats. Would you say a freedom-loving Democrat? Can you name one? Name one. Kurt, I just like to think, I don't know of one. Could you help me out?
Lou, I rack my brain. Sometimes, ironically enough, there are glimpses from, who's the senator that ran against Hillary Clinton, the older gentleman whose name escapes me right now.
Bernie Sanders.
Sometimes there's a glimpse, and then he quickly goes back to his into the fold.
He's a Marxist and a fraud, by the way.
There's a glimpse.
I'll grant you the glimpse with one Marxist senator by the name of Bernie Sanders. I can't think of another. This is absolutely a time, as you said, of great danger and requiring unprecedented action. And I fear that when it passes for a response for the minority leader of the House of Representatives saying to keep your documents and clear your calendar, if that is bold stuff and a response to this iniquity, this obscenity on the part of the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the Biden White House, then we are lost. We have to do more as a people. We have to do more for our leadership. My Lord, this Mitch McConnell, we haven't even heard from him. And this is just fine with this pitiful excuse for a Republican. That would make him a pitiful excuse for a Republican.
Well, it's been, you know, reported, you know, of course, in 2010, when you had the Tea Party movement that swept a number of candidates into the Senate and the House. I mean, it was reported that, you know, that McConnell had helped, weaponize the IRS or look the other way while the IRS started investigating various Tea Party groups, for example. And, you know, the same thing, I think, is true with the Make America Great movement. The grassroots are antithetical to Senator McConnell's desire to maintain the establishment control of the Republican Senate. And
I've got to be honest with you. I could care less what McConnell's reaction is to anything. He's more aligned with the CCP than he is the Republican Party. He is certainly not aligned with MAGA or America First. Again, his stewardship, if you can call it that, of the Republican Senate, is abysmal. He is a nonentity and a force for the opposition, certainly not for the Republican Party or the American people.
I agree completely, but I think his reaction needs to be noted by the American people so they see what's going on. So while he hides in the background and doesn't say anything, that needs to be brought to light, because it's only by exposing people like McConnell and the other feckless Republicans who are doing nothing while this is going on.
What would be, in your opinion, the reason that we haven't heard anything from the American Bar Association, the American Civil Liberties Union? Why haven't we heard from attorneys within the Republican Party standing up and talking about what an affront to the Constitution and to tradition and to a former president's rights and expectations, if you will? Why are attorneys across this country so left-wing, and those who are seemingly Republican so feckless?
Lou, I think every one of those institutions has been co-opted. and that would be the American Bar Association. That would be the ACLU. You know, all of them have basically been co-opted and are now working with the regime, if you will, the left-wing Marxist revolution that is attempted to be that they're attempting to impose on the country right now. I mean, you ask yourself those questions, but if you look, you know, everywhere you look, the institutions that we used to look to guard, you know, our republic and the freedoms that we have, they're no longer there. And it's because they're made up of people. And those people that are now running those institutions are on board with what is being imposed right now. This really is I think it's a war on the American people by the current government and the institutions around it that support it, such as the ACLU that used to be averse to power. You don't really see, I mean, even Alan Dershowitz has come out and said, you know, where's the ACLU that, you know, I used to know? And, you know, Alan Dershowitz, you know, and I are not aligned on many things in politics, but, you know, he has stayed true to his belief system in terms of, you know, being against abuses of power and to make sure that the government lives within the constraints of the Constitution.
Well, a lot of people who, if whatever their charge, and Dershowitz has been a smart man, a smart lawyer and professor for a very long time. But I have to say, his influence on the legal system of this country is de minimis. His influence on the institutions, whether it be the FBI, the executive, whether the presidency, has been de minimis. We haven't had a significant influence whatsoever in Washington, D.C., or the swamp, if you prefer. Trump, for 4 years, and he was forced out. He was a victim of an attempted coup that, while it didn't succeed, it certainly did end the prospects at the ballot box that he would return for at least 4 years. We have been watching Donald Trump be persecuted since the second half of 2016 to the present day, and no one stands up for the man. No one actually does much. A handful of people, but this man has had to fight. He and his family have had to fight this basically on their own from Jump Street. And isn't that remarkable that we haven't had more people step forward and step into the system and say, we're going to fight this? We've got a handful of candidates across the country, thanks to Trump's interest and efforts. But man, do we need patriots now.
We do, but it also shows you the power of the forces that are arrayed against not only President Trump, but of the people that support him. And so all of these actions are designed to keep him from running in 2024, whether it's the January 6th committee, whether it is, you know, was the impeachments before. You know, their goal is to keep him from running in 2024 because they know he'll win. For example, look at the policies that are being imposed now by the current administration, whether it's on immigration, energy, critical race theory, the weaponization of the Department of Justice, for example. They're not changing those policies, even though this administration knows they're deeply unpopular and are going to likely result in a red wave in the upcoming midterms. They're not changing course. And that tells you something, because they think they can win or get what they want done beforehand. And there are real questions about, I think, whether we're going to see a midterm election that is conducted, you know, normally. For example, Biden just declared a national emergency for monkeypox. But why? And this is a repeat of the China virus, imposing a national emergency, and all of a sudden mail-in voting is what's required. You know, we can't show up at the polls to vote in person, so you have mail-in voting. which is quite frankly rife with fraud.
The fact is there are about 7,500 cases in the entire United States. It affects male-to-male homosexual sexual contact. Don't do that, and we will bring this thing to a conclusion for those who are at risk. This is madness. And the fact that the national corporate media doesn't point out what a fool this president is, this impaired, incapable, incoherent fool, is treated as if he were a legitimate president of the United States. He is an oaf. His wife is a caretaker and a tender. I mean, this is madness what we are witnessing. This is a country gone mad. You look at every corner. We've got a military that wants to send troops to the eastern flank of Europe to contend with Vladimir Putin instead of letting the Europeans defend themselves. Let them make decisions about NATO. Why must this leader of the free world, who's just the same fellow that I just described, impaired, a fool, and it just goes on and on. This is irrational. This is madness. And I can't think of a single policy being pursued by this administration. And I'll turn to you. Name one policy that is rational and in the national interest and in the interest of the American people that this president has pursued or ordered through executive order or administrative action.
No, I don't think there's a single action that has been for the benefit of the American people. Everything is designed to take the country down. This is part of, we've talked before about the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, the Build Yep. Back Better agenda, the Green New Deal, which doesn't apply just to the United States, but every Western leader is repeating Build Back Better, whether it was Boris Johnson, Justin Trudeau, Macron. And you have to ask yourself, why are all these Western leaders repeating the same agenda? Which, by the way, every Western European country is now under the same, inflationary pressures, the illegal immigration pressures. Everything is being done to tear down the nation state system of governance and to usher in globalism. And so we are in uncharted territory as a country and for the Western world in this. This is an agenda by the World Economic Forum to impose globalism. And to do that, they need to destroy the fabric of each nation state. You may not be aware because it wasn't really reported much, but on March 29th and March 30th in Dubai, there was a meeting of over 4,000 members of the Global Governance Association, many from the United States. This all arises out of the World Economic Forum, and you can look it up. There are two primary topics. We're mandating a digital ID for everyone and digital currency. Yeah. And that is how you impose social control. So you asked earlier about where are the institutions, American Bar Association, the ACLU, the media. They are all under the control of the World Economic Forum. It's this is like an octopus that through the years has grown into this behind-the-scenes behemoth that is controlling governments. I mean, even David Gergen, the CNN supposed Republican, you can see, if you Google him, his interviews with Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab, and this is like 10 years ago, admits that they control the cabinets in France, Argentina, and Canada. And he probably named a few other countries. This is something that has been silently creeping through the Western world, and we are now at the apex of what the World Economic Forum's goal is, which is to take down the United States and President Trump, because he stood in the way of globalism and Marxism. But this is where we are as a country now.
It is where we are, and the threats are very real. And I have to say, this isn't entirely uncharted territory. I spent some time in Russia following the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the Soviet Union. And you would talk with Russians, and they didn't know what had hit them. They honestly didn't know what happened. They didn't know why their country had collapsed, their government had folded. And they were looking at the time toward the United States for help. Help, but by the way, frankly, through Democrat and Republican administrations didn't come. That help was all being sent to communist China, for goodness sake. But this is, it is charted territory, because a superpower can be reduced to a memory within a matter of months. And I believe that is exactly what's happening to the United States, because we have a corrupt system, a system that was once the envy of the world is now rancid with corruption in both parties and across our business structure, our economy. It's a very difficult time, but no one should think that this has not, we haven't seen this before. We are going the way of the Soviet Union right now, and make no mistake about it. There's one important difference here, though, Kurt. There are two other powers that are ready to sweep in when we fail. This will not be a moment for Russia, where it can gather and bring itself up out of the ashes of at one time a superpower, the Soviet Union. We won't have that opportunity, because the Chinese and the Russians will be here within days of that collapse. We don't have that opportunity to rise like Phoenix, because there will be attacks and assaults from the East and the West, most surely. We don't have that opportunity, and I'd love to hear what your response is.
I think we have an opportunity if enough people wake up to what is going on, because this will take the American people themselves to take back their country. They can no longer outsource the job of protecting freedom, the job of protecting rights, and to others to maintain. People need to step up, and it can be as simple as educating friends and neighbors to what's going on, to writing op-eds, to running for local office, to any number of things. But many people have just been asleep and let others do the job of supposedly protecting our freedoms, whether it's the government, the ACLU, the American Bar Association, the media, and those are now corrupt institutions that have been weaponized against the American people. And so this really is, it's an opportunity, and the choice is going to be whether the people, enough people, wake up. I mean, I saw a great speech by woman running against Liz Cheney. I think her name is Hagman. And
right.
It's, she goes on and on, we are fed up. We are fed up with illegal immigration. We are fed up with critical race theory. We are fed up with men competing in women's sports, and so forth and so forth. It was just terrific. And that's what it's going to take. When General Mike Flynn, who was persecuted by this corrupt government, when he says local action equals national impact, he's exactly right. People need to step up. And that's the only way that we're going to take back our country.
Yeah. Well, if people aren't awake now, they will slumber forever. It's that simple. And if and that would be a shame to let this great republic simply slip away because we just were so apathetic and passive and so precious. It makes my blood boil. Kurt Olson, we thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. You're a great American, and let's talk soon. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you, Lou. Likewise.
Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Our guest tomorrow on The Great America Show will be Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton. Please join us. Till then, God bless you. God bless America.